Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon on special assignment in Arizona.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. What's a special assignment? Breaking 90?
Well, if that was the assignment, Tony, in the first two rounds of the year out here, I failed. Let's just say that.
Well, so what is the special assignment then? Is it like chipping in? Because it's certainly got to do with golf. There's no other reason for you to be there, right?
If I tell you, I have to eliminate you.
Yeah, but you'd have to do it from 4,000 miles away. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Final Four, Urban Meyer's apology, and the 60 Minutes profile on Mikhail Prokhorov. Miracle happens. But we begin today with Tom Izzo. By beating Tennessee, the Michigan State coach is now in the Final Four for the sixth time in 12 years. You want to know the list of coaches who've done that in college basketball history? Well, there's John Wooden, there's Mike Krzyzewski, and there's Tom Izzo. That's it. That's the list. Wilbon, you're a son of the Midwest. Are you in awe of Tom Izzo?
Yes, 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 Tony. Because he doesn't always have the best team in the Big Ten. It's not like he goes in every year with people expecting him to go 28-3. I mean, some of those years, they're never at the bottom of the Big Ten. But
right.
He can be in the middle of the pack. And somehow, you know, even when they go in as number five seed, and they've done that a couple of times, gone to the Final Four from the fifth seed, when it comes time for March, that team gets better and better and better.
Does it all the time.
And he understands how to get them ready to get deep in the tournament.
He does it all the time, and he doesn't have a lot of great pros. I mean, Zach Randolph's a pretty good pro, but he left after 1 year. So it's not like he's recruiting All-American after All-American. But let me ask you this. Six times is a lot. If he were not to win this time, he would have one win in six trips. Would people start saying, well, he's Bobby Cox, that he gets there all the time, and that's great, but he doesn't win it?
How about this? They could say he's Mike Krzyzewski, because he got there all the time.
And hadn't won at all.
For a while. That's right.
Dean Smith didn't win at all for a while.
Dean Smith.
Tony,
the two best examples,
right.
Mike Krzyzewski and Dean Smith. I'd forgotten about Dean, and of course, that hung over Dean Smith's head for years and years and years. Even when he'd won one, it became, is the great Dean Smith only going to win one? So, you know, I guess people can say that that's pretty good company, too.
Do you know what it's like? It's like Meryl Streep. She gets nominated every year. She's
only
a great actress, but she hasn't won in like 30 years. Though Izzo, you keep going, you know you're going to win. And other coaches like him, even coaches we know who don't like anybody, they like him.
Anybody you have in mind, Tom? Even though the Duke Blue Devils are a polarizing team that has both legions of fans and detractors, there's a sense in some quarters that by beating Baylor yesterday, Duke saved the Final Four, or at the very least raised the profile of the weekend, much to the relief of the NCAA and broadcast partner CBS. Tone, Duke hadn't been to the Final Four in 5 years, which is a rather lengthy absence by its standard. Is the Final Four now somehow better because Duke is in it?
I'm not going to say it's necessarily better, but Duke will draw a crowd. If you had a final, for example, of Butler versus Baylor, people at CBS might well be worried about that, worried if it had any broad appeal. Duke's like the New York Yankees. They're a great team. A lot of people hate them, and a lot of people love them. And to that degree, in terms of ratings, you're probably better off with Duke, yes.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the Final Four is somewhat like the Super Bowl. Not that it's going to have that big a number, but whatever the number is sort of insulated from who's in it. Duke hasn't been in 5 years, and you know what? I don't remember thinking to myself, I don't want to watch the Final Four because Duke's not in it. I understand what you're saying, Tony. I don't disagree. Because Mike Krzyzewski's a national figure.
Yes.
And I have for many years said that if I had to play one game and my life was on the line, I would want Mike Krzyzewski to coach me to get through that night. So I am not one of those people who likes to take shots at Duke. I like seeing Duke involved.
The bad news
for you.
I don't
think the profile is raised.
Well, the bad news for you is that Krzyzewski could not coach you up.
Couldn't get the best out of me.
No, he couldn't.
He couldn't get me to pound
no
the, slap the floor and
I
play better D.
I got to give credit. Duke's really good this year, better than people thought. I'm going to credit my friend Richie Cohn, who's a doctor of basketball, who told me months ago, don't underestimate them. They're big players, do nothing but rebound now and then kick the ball out to shooters. And if you watch this, it was the offensive rebounds that got them through that game.
Better than their big guys have been in years in that way.
Bigger and stronger, than they've been.
Yep.
The least known school in the Final Four is Butler, and they have the shortest road to travel to the Lucas Oil Stadium. It's only 6 miles from the Butler campus. They got to the Final Four by beating number 2 seed Kansas State after beating number 1 seed Syracuse. Almost everybody who writes about them this week will call them Cinderella and make comparisons to George Mason. Wilbon, are you comfortable with those comparisons?
Tony, I wouldn't make it. I'm not uncomfortable with it. I understand it from a branding point of view. We try to find the easiest way to depict whatever it is we're trying to present to people these days. That's what all these marketing geniuses do. And I understand the branding of Butler as Cinderella. But when I look at the teams on the floor, and I don't know how many times I've said this on this show and to you, Tone, we're on the phone and we talk about what's going on in the action during the March Madness. No, they're not Cinderella, because you look at that team and I see no difference between that team and Duke and West Virginia. And who am I leaving out? Who else is in the
Michigan
Final Four?
Michigan State.
And Michigan State, of course. I don't see any difference.
I reject all the comparisons to George Mason, flatly reject them. George Mason was an 11. They may have been the last at-large seed in the tournament that year. Butler's been a top 20 team all year long.
Good point.
They're seeded fifth, which means the committee says at worst they're the number 20 team in the country.
That's right.
They scheduled tough teams to get ready for this because they knew their conference couldn't help them out that much. At one point in a row, they had games with Georgetown, Ohio State, and Xavier, and won two of the games.
But
their
but you,
power. Their power.
But you know why it's fair to brand them this way. Because they're not on every Monday night on this network on Big Something.
No.
They're not a team
the
you
Horizon
see
Conference
every Sunday
big.
On
no.
CBS.
No.
They're not there.
No.
They're kept
play.
Out.
And not
they
only
can
that,
play. Yes, they can.
If they were, Cinderella's fine, but the comparisons to George Mason fail in this regard.
Yeah.
They're actually favored over Michigan State. They're favored.
I've seen
the
Vegas line.
So people who know
That's
must think they're pretty good.
Sort of amazing, actually. Yeah. They're at home, too. West Virginia reached its first Final Four in 51 years and did it at the expense of Kentucky, which could have reached the Final Four just by hitting some free throws.
Right.
Tony, a regional final means the season is a success for about 98% of the Division I programs out there, but not Kentucky. Did the Wildcats then get their money's worth out of Coach John Calipari? And is West Virginia now your favorite to win those two games and the championship next weekend?
I'm going to take the first question first. I think they definitely got their money's worth out of Calipari. I do. This is his first year, and he went to the Final Eight, and Billy Gillespie is way in the rearview mirror. He took freshmen to the Final Eight. It's not his fault that they shot 4 of 32 from three-point. I mean, I think that he can acquire great recruits every single year. That is his history, and I think that they made the right choice. Yes, sure.
I think they made the right choice too, Tony. Here's the thing, and there is despair. I have a really good friend who is a daughter of Kentucky, Julia Rogers, and she, after the Final Four was set, she said, "I would rather drink bleach then watch Duke while we're not there." And then people are in despair in the bluegrass. I get that. And it's like, oh, my goodness.
I've got a cup here. I could fill it up with bleach if she wanted
I don't think we want to go through with this. And my response was, you know, it's the regional final they lost in. The regional final. It's not like they lost in the second
they
round.
They got to the eights. Okay, but Tony,
it's, you know how we talk about football places? This is what would happen in Alabama, or is what used to happen in Notre Dame when they were good.
I reject that at this moment. Let me say something about West Virginia, who might be the best team left in it.
Might be.
I was loud wrong. I said there was no way they could win it all because their point guard got hurt, broke his foot. Joe Mazzulla comes in. I believe he was the regional MVP.
Yeah.
And they look great. So at the moment, that's a tough game with Duke, though, because they play zone. Duke can shoot. They can shoot. That's a great game to watch. So let's take a break. Coming up, Urban Meyer apologizes for his tantrum.
And a minor league hockey coach throws a tantrum of his own.
I was so wrong about West Virginia and Michigan State.
Get the latest soccer news both on and off the field with the SoccerNet podcast. Download it now at the iTunes Music Store and at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
PTI, where more headlines happen. Let's get back into college hoops. Oregon isn't in the Final Four, but appears willing to pay top dollar to get there. Television station KEZI in Eugene says that Oregon is planning to offer Tom Izzo the largest contract in college basketball. Other names floated include Billy Donovan, Tubby Smith, and Jamie Dixon. Oregon has big Nike money, Mike. Do you see the Ducks landing a big fish?
Yes, absolutely.
You do.
Even if Nike had to orchestrate the whole thing itself, sure. Big money. That's the key thing there, Tony. They may not get their first choice. Like if it was floated out there, they might get Tom Izzo. That's the wrong guy.
They're not
Tom Izzo has left Tom Izzo's been out of the city of Michigan like 30 days in his whole life.
He's not going anywhere.
So he's not going. But this, I'm sorry, he's not the only basketball coach out there. And yes, they can get a big name, or more importantly, they can get a potentially great coach, because money is the reason why.
Okay, but Billy Donovan has already turned down a bunch of jobs for money. Tom Izzo is not leaving the state of Michigan.
So
who does that leave you with? Tubby Smith
just
got to Minnesota.
It leaves a whole country of coaches.
Jamie Dixon, maybe. But who?
You're just naming big-name guys in the East. Mean to tell me you think that the guy at Butler is not worth coaching just because you never heard of him?
No, you know what? I don't know why he'd want to go to Oregon. Oregon is a terrible program right now.
I'm not saying he would want to go. I'm not saying he would. My point is, they're better coaches than you can name on Big Monday. Those aren't the only coaches in America.
I don't think that just giving people money to go to a bad situation in a big conference is enough. People
How long is it a bad situation? If you can recruit and coach.
Before Ernie Kent, it was a bad situation for, I don't know, 30 years.
That means it could be a good situation again. You said you named an exception.
I don't think you just go for money.
Please,
no.
Does that make Oregon the worst program in the history of sports?
It's not one of the best 40.
Somebody can make it that. Let's move to one of the biggest coaches in college football. Florida's Urban Meyer has apologized to Orlando Sentinel reporter Jeremy Fowler for his outburst the other day, in which he called Fowler a bad guy and warned him to be careful. Tony, in your mind, is this episode over and done?
I'm going to split that into two questions. Is it over? Yes, it's over. Is it done? It's done unless and until Urban Meyer does this again. And Urban Meyer is one of those fellas who thinks that the press should just be boosters for his program, and he's very tightly controlling of everything that goes on, and I think this goes into the Urban Meyer highlight reel, and if it ever happens again, it gets trotted out, and so it's not done with forever, no.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's this specific incident
is over,
maybe even done.
Good that he apologized, but, also. Good he apologized.
But the control freak nature and being wound as tight as a kettle drum is not over. I mean, and it's not like this incident is the only manifestation of that. So what we've talked about is when it became public because it happened before some cameras. But I completely agree with you. There'll be something with somebody likely
unless
he changes his behavior.
He acts like he's the law in Gainesville, and perhaps he is
because
he's a great coach.
Yeah.
But again, there's a highlight reel, and the next one adds on top of this one. One of the NBA's newest and most mysterious owners pulled back the Iron Curtain last night on 60 Minutes. Russian billionaire Mikhail Prokhorov says he loves controlled risk, thrives on stress, has no idea where his yacht is, but always locates hot women. He credited his fortune to brains and timing, not violence, and then fondled a machine gun. When David Stern was asked whether Prokhorov is a man of character, Stern said he passed a background check. What the hell, right, Wilbon?
What the hell? Literally. I mean, I'm sorry. This guy's worth $17 billion, and the NBA is going to close its door to him, or the NFL. If he wanted to buy an NFL team, the NFL has more prospective buyers than the NBA would, but there's no way he was going to be kept out of that club, and there's no reason to keep him out if David Stern is satisfied that he's passed the background check.
How expensive was that background check?
I don't know.
If it was anything more than, can you spell Moscow?
Are you saying there was no background check?
I'm saying that the background check probably wasn't as judicious as it might have been. I think they want his money. He's going to take a terrible franchise. He's going to pump a lot of money in it and maybe attract free agents and all of that stuff. And you're going to say he's great for the league and he makes more Cuban look tame.
If he turns the Nets around. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're going to say all the NFL coaches and NBA owners and NFL owners who've been accepted who are American, you think their backgrounds are questionable at some point?
I'm sure some of them have questionable backgrounds, but they probably predate the current people running the leagues. Let's not make this into something xenophobic here. I'm simply suggesting to you that the reason he's an owner of the Nets so quickly is because he's got a lot of money and he's willing to spend it.
And that would separate him from other owners that might be accepted into the league by what?
I think it's possible that the background check on him is not that strenuous. Do you disagree with that?
I have no way of knowing.
Of course not, but you love the fact that he brings women with him.
I love that. I got a way of knowing looking at that.
We're taking a break. When we come back, the Steelers ask Big Ben to stay away from voluntary workouts.
And this AHL coach gives us a meltdown, maybe for the ages.
This guy's 6'8". He's bigger owner than Jordan. Just as many
Two
women.
2 inches. 2 inches.
Racing fans, get the latest news from NASCAR from the J-Ski Podcast featuring Mark Garrow. Download for free at iTunes or on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.
Here at PTI, we don't have models, machine guns, billions of dollars, or the New Jersey Nets. But we do have your emails. Stinks. Let me get the first
mail time.
Here we go. The Steelers asked Ben Roethlisberger to stay away from this week's voluntary off-season conditioning program. Smart call?
Tony, I guess so. When I first heard about this, I was like, well, this seems a bit extreme, maybe a little bit overreactive.
Really?
If you have someone who has not been declared or found guilty of anything yet, then and may not be at all, then why keep him away? The
because
Steelers
don't
seem to get
to
these things right.
Because you don't want to expose him to the media at that point.
So now, say there'll be no interviews.
But you can't do that. You can't bar everybody from that. Now you expose his teammates to having to answer questions about him. The Steelers have not put their arms around Ben Roethlisberger to this. They're keeping him a certain amount of distance. I think they're preparing for the possibility he won't be available at the beginning of the season.
But don't say you can't. Of course you can tell him you're not going to answer questions. If Tiger Woods has done it for 6 months, don't tell me Ben Roethlisberger can't do it. But he hasn't been found guilty. Seems like he could participate to me.
Team sport. I think they're trying to protect him.
Yeah.
Brittany Griner single-handedly destroyed Tennessee. Any chance she can do that to UConn?
Well, you know what? I don't know, but that's the matchup I want to see. She's playing Duke. She and Baylor are playing Duke tonight in a regional final for the right to go to the Final Four. And they would meet UConn, presuming UConn wins, which
right.
of course UConn will.
Right.
That's the match you want to see.
Yeah.
If she blocks every shot, they got a chance.
Well, if she blocks every shot, it would be very bad coaching on Geno's part. You don't get to 75 wins in a row by only driving down the middle. You got outside shooters. You take Brittany Griner out of the game by shooting from the outside. If she can block everything, you know, then they're going to win. I think she could probably beat every other team in women's basketball,
yeah.
but not UConn.
I think not UConn, but isn't that what you now want to see?
Sure.
You want to see this individual force against this unbeatable team. That is worth watching if they get to it.
Hanley Ramirez wearing a diamond necklace with his own batting average on it. Fair or foul?
There seem to be lots of bling now coming up that people are wearing. I mean, you know, we had that story about Jason of Beverly Hills putting the image of a player on. This is fair. Why not? I mean, somebody gives it to you. You didn't do it yourself. Why wouldn't it be fair? I like it.
Jason of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, he did Marquise Daniels.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Did Marquise Daniels' image. It was tight.
So you don't think the owner of the Florida team, Jeffrey
Loria, get somebody.
Didn't he go to Jared, the Galleria or something like that?
I don't think so.
This thing has 394 diamonds on it.
Yeah.
If you wear this, you're asking somebody, rip it off my neck and steal it from me.
Well, where are you wearing it? Now, if you're wearing the dugout, somebody going to take it off you in the dugout?
You wear that in the dugout, you look like a fool. You don't wear it in the dugout. At least
you're
going to
look like you like your owner.
Really?
Come on,
last
now.
One.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm not familiar with Jason of Beverly Hills.
Well, you should get there.
Minor league hockey coach Jim Playfair was fined but not suspended for his tantrum on Saturday night. Justice?
I don't know. This is a great tantrum, by the way. I mean, first of all, one guy is now without a stick. If there's a shift change, he just turns around and says, sorry, you just took me out of the next shift. You took me off the power play. And then does it again with another. I kind of like it as video goes,
you
Tony.
Like it?
But that, would you suspend him? I don't know.
He's a maniac.
Sure.
Let's understand something.
Sure.
The fact that his name is Playfair is a fabulous irony. He definitely should have been suspended. He's acting like Liam Neeson in Taken. He's ripping off his clothes. What is he doing? What is that? Do you want to play
it's
for
a great tantrum.
Like that? Right.
You know what?
Suspend him.
That's not half as bad as the top 100 baseball manager tantrums of last season. Lou Piniella does that in the middle of April just to get warmed up. What are you talking about?
Jamie Koharski was the guy, the referee in this. The son of Don. Have another donut.
Have another donut.
That's so. Is that unbelievable?
It is.
That's it. Time for a break. But on the way, Sam Bradford's almost perfect pro day workout.
We should ask Piniella about that tantrum. And important breaking news involving the color of Tiger's shirts for the Masters.
Shirts probably designed by Jason of Beverly Hills.
Bling, bling. You want to snatch them off of him?
Jason of Beverly Hills. He's your best friend now. Matterhorn? Let's get happy. Happy 65th birthday, Walt Frazier, the Knicks starting point guard of my youth. In one championship, he had Dick Barnett as his two guard. In his second championship, he had Earl Monroe as his two guard. Wilbon, can you name a better backcourt than Frazier and Monroe?
Jordan and Pippen.
Pippen wasn't in the backcourt.
Yeah, he was.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he was.
That is a ridiculous
call. I knew you would try to take me out of that,
that's
the answer. But your boys are a great backcourt. They really were.
Happy anniversary, Tiger Woods. On this day last year, for the second straight year, Tiger birdied the 72nd hole to win the Bay Hill tournament. Today, Ernie Els hung on to win the rain-delayed Bay Hill. This is Els' second straight win. Wilbon, Ernie rolls into Augusta pretty hot. Do you make him the favorite?
He is hot, Tony. I make lefty Phil Mickelson the favorite at Augusta.
Tiger's a favorite. Happy trails, Hito Turkoglu. Turkoglu did not play in yesterday's Raptors loss to the Heat, despite being on the active list. There are reports that Turkoglu was in fact benched because he was spotted out on the town after missing the Raptors' previous game due to an illness. Wilbon, your boy Turkoglu signed a $53 million deal.
Yeah.
His team is collapsing. Go ahead, defend your boy.
Can't, Tone. He's the single most disappointing player in the league this year. They got talent in Toronto. There's no reason for them to be that bad, and he's been a total disappointment. And Scotty was the point guard. I don't care what they named him.
He was the
point guard.
It's crazy. Trying to find out we messed up, Rialli.
Turkoglu, the adhesive you need to put your turkey back together. I'm pretty sure that's not how they
Turkoglu.
Say it in
Turkoglu.
Istanbul, Tone. Denny Hamlin won at Martinsville, and Eddie Curry. The Knicks are shutting them down for the rest of the season, so adjust your fantasy roster, Wilbon.
Shout outs, Wilbon. Who are you shouting out to?
Breaking news, Tony, 24, canceled by Fox. How about that?
Yeah, I understand.
Jack
that.
Bauer done. Chloe done.
I'm shouting out to people who are having the first Passover Seder tonight. Zeeson Pesach, save the lamb bone for John Shire. We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including Sam Bradford's Pro Day.
We're back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Kenna. Wilbon, what are your Passover plans for tonight?
I'll tell you after we get off the air.
Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, should the NCAA consider reseeding the Final Four?
Tony, I wouldn't object to that. There's some years, certainly, in the past where I've thought they should have reseeded, where there seemed to be some great imbalance by the time you got to the Final Four, and the team that was known by everybody to be the number one overall seed, the best team, did not get the fourth best team, if you will. They got maybe the second best team, and it seemed unfair. This is not one of those years. I look at these teams, and I'm like, okay, where's the difference between them? I don't see it. What would you do? Would you have Duke play Michigan State and Butler play West Virginia? I don't see that. I don't see the difference. So this is the tough year to me to make the argument, despite the seed difference.
I would never, ever make this argument.
No?
Not ever, but particularly not this year. How could you possibly make the determination? As you look at these four teams, the way they got there,
you can't.
It's an impossible thing to do. And there's a more practical reason why the NCAA shouldn't do this.
What?
There are tens of millions of dollars at stake, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars in office pools all over the country.
Brackets.
And they ask you to take it all the way to the final game. And how are you supposed to deal with that now? That's just so stupid. I mean, you're cutting off the golden goose's neck.
Tony.
Stupid.
If it's so stupid, and I agree with you, it is entirely stupid and dumb and inconsiderate, then that's exactly what the NCAA will do, because that's what they specialize in.
No.
So that's exactly what will happen now.
You can't even reseed it. There's no way to make the determination.
I agree. It's not pro sports.
No.
You don't need to reseed.
1 minute left. We go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Sam Bradford completed 49 of 50 passes during his pro day workout today. Is he the number one pick?
Off of that, was Jared Allen out there with Julius Peppers rushing him?
No.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
Ernie Grunfeld says Gilbert Arenas will play for the Wizards next year. You surprised?
I am surprised. How do we know Ernie Grunfeld is going to be there next year? Cole Aldrich leaving Kansas, entering the NBA draft. Good decision?
Yes, I think he's one of the top, he's certainly one of the top 10 players, maybe higher than that. The Spurs beat down the Celtics. Does that say more about the Spurs or the Celtics?
I'm not sure it says anything right now. It's one game out of 82. I just don't know what it means. Tigers Master shirt colors will be dark gray, green blade, lilac frost, and carmine. Good choices.
Are you sure he's going to get to the frost and carmine? Are you certain?
I don't know what carmine is.
Red. Fred Couples won his third straight Champions Tour event. You impressed?
Yeah, he's doing great. They win between 50 and 55 all the time.
That's
10,
true.
Not so much. Last one. Nets go for their 10th win tonight at home against the Spurs. Will they get it?
I know Ginobili's not playing, but the Spurs are in a race to stay out of 8th in a first-round matchup with the Lakers. No, the Spurs win on the road in Jersey.
Bullet red, not Carmen. We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Check out the podcast on iTunes. Let's go back to Bristol.
Hito Turkoglu, go to your room.
PTI.